So on this second Sunday of Easter, we're celebrating the risen Lord. We're celebrating Jesus who appeared to the apostles with those beautiful words, "Peace, peace be with you." He had been to the darkest part of humanity. He'd shared in the rottenness of our sin, even though he was the innocent one, as he hung on the cross for our sake. But now risen, now glorified, he brings peace. Having been to the lack of peace that we suffer from, having had such atrocities meted out against him, having been the object of violence and hatred, now, in his risen state, he's able to authentically bring us peace, the peace that we couldn't have had any other way, the peace that comes through reconciliation, the peace that comes through the grace of mercy and forgiveness, the peace that comes from the heart of God himself. And so it's no accident that after having bestowed the peace and breathed the Spirit upon the apostles, he then says, "Those whose sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Those whose sins you retain, they're retained." Giving them the power to forgive sins within the life of the church, which we've been celebrating before Mass. Many have come to the sacrament of reconciliation. Because on this day in particular, there is a great grace of God's mercy ministered through that sacrament. And the mercy of God is lavishly poured upon us so that we can be restored in the depth of our spirit. And we gaze today upon Christ risen with the wounds in his hands and his side, his feet. And from his side flowing the blood and water, symbolized in the image by the red and the white rays coming out from his heart. Now he shed his last drop of blood for us. How rich he is in mercy. The water that flows from his side is a symbol for us of the new life of the Spirit poured out for our sake to recreate us, make us new. This is a day when we can turn to Jesus with our hearts in a whole new way and say, "Jesus, I trust you. I really trust you. I really trust you with my life. I trust you, Lord, with all the failures of my life, all the weaknesses, all my brokenness, all the things of the past I've been terribly ashamed of, things that I still feel guilt about in the wee hours of the morning when I wake up and I'm remembering these things. But now I can bring it all to you, Lord. As I might have brought it to you in the sacrament of reconciliation, but I still carry something of that shame in my heart. Now I come to you, Lord, and I trust you. I trust your healing power in my life. I trust your mercy upon me. I trust that you have forgiven me." It's a beautiful thing, isn't it, to know Jesus' forgiveness. When he was raised up on the cross, those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In Luke's gospel, it's actually when he's being nailed to the cross that he says those words. As the nails are going through his hands and his feet, that's when he says, "Forgive them." I remember one time I was meditating upon this, trying to get inside what Jesus was feeling at that time. And it was sort of an interesting experience because I started to get quite angry. After all, if I was the Son of God and they're nailing me to this wood, I'll rise up and use my power and smash them. That's what came up inside of me. And I realized that wasn't Jesus, that was me. But we've all got some of that in us, don't we? We've all got some of that anger that can rise up and seek vengeance, retaliation. We all have something of that hatred that can rise within us when we've been offended deeply by another person and find it very difficult to bring those words that Jesus brought, forgive them, to be able to forgive. And so Jesus broke the cycle of violence that we tend to perpetuate through the hatred and vicious attitudes within us at times. He broke that cycle. He made it possible for us to forgive. He's merciful God. I love that psalm where it says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. You, O Lord, should mark our guilt. Lord, who would survive? But with you, we have found mercy, forgiveness. Now, if the Lord was to mark my guilt in my life, oh my goodness, I would not survive. But he has forgiven. And so too for yourself. You know, none of us is perfect, but all of us have been forgiven. And that's what we have in common, that we are the redeemed people of God who have experienced this grace of forgiveness deep within our hearts. But some of us doubt whether we're truly forgiven. And on this day, I pray for you especially that you will forgive yourself and that you'll receive more deeply into yourself that grace of forgiveness. You'll allow yourself to be forgiven by God. Oftentimes we beat ourselves up a bit, don't we? And we start to get angry with ourselves and we think back on things that might have happened years and years before. And we start to sort of accuse ourselves again and feel shamed about it and angry about ourselves and hate ourselves and belittle ourselves because of that. The hardest one to forgive is yourself. And many suffer from this shame deep within the heart, even though I might have been to the sacrament of reconciliation a number of times about it. It still lingers within me. And today the Lord will bring a healing to you especially in this regard. I want to tell you a story about that, which I may have told before, but anyway, it's a good story. There was a priest in the United States in California, and he just finished his Sunday masses, and he just quietening down in the presbytery. And you know, if you're a priest, I know what this means. You feel like, it's time just to have a rest. And he gets a phone call from the hospital, which is a couple of hours away, saying that there's someone dying, and he's a Catholic, and he really needs a priest because he went last the night. And the priest said, oh no, big sinking feeling. I've got to go all that distance, and there was a storm raging outside. So anyway, he decided to go. So he gets in the car, and it took him a long time to get there through the storm and everything. He finally arrives. He goes into the room where this guy is dying. He says, look, I'm a Catholic priest. They told me you need the priest before you die. And the man said to him, get out of here, you bee. So the priest went out, and he couldn't go back because of the storm, so he thought he would give another go. So after a little while, half an hour or so, he sort of thought, I'll try it again. So he went into the room and sort of said, now, I'm a Catholic priest. You don't have long to go. You really need to talk about your life. He said, get out of here. I told you to get out of here. I just come. And he really was quite abusive. So anyway, the priest hung around, had a few more coffees and that sort of stuff. And he said, I'll give it one more go. So he went in again the final time. And he said, look, you are dying and you do need to minister to a church. Surely you'd like to talk about whatever it is that's a problem. And the fellow said, okay, I might as well tell you. And he told this story that 40 years before, he'd been working on one of those manual signal boxes that they used to have for the trains, you know? And you pull the lever this way and it means the tracks go this way and then the train can go down that right track. Well, the problem is that he said it was Christmas time and he was a little bit drunk, and he pulled the wrong lever, and the train went down the wrong track. And there was a car going across that track, thinking there was no train coming. And he said there was a woman and her two children were killed instantly. And he said, I've never forgiven myself. I had to face the law, but they let me off pretty well, but I've never forgiven myself. And he said, I've lived my life miserably, and I've hated myself and hated life. And I don't care if I die because I've got nothing to live for anyway. That's where he was. And the priest asked him a few more questions, details about this thing. And it's a true story. And then he said to the man, he said, I've got something very important to tell you. He said, you didn't know this, but there was another little boy in that car. And he said, he survived the accident and he grew up and he became a priest and he's now speaking with you. And so that night, that man was able to receive the sacrament of reconciliation, forgiving him all of his sins. He was also able to hear the words of forgiveness spoken to him by the only one in the world we needed to hear it from. A little boy who had lost his mum and his two siblings through this accident that had happened. And the man went to the Lord that night at peace. How beautiful is God that he would arrange such a providential meeting to ensure that this man would go to the Lord in peace, knowing God's mercy. Now, I don't know what you may be harboring in your heart, whether within you there still are levels of shame and guilt, where you find it difficult to forgive. But on this day especially, the Lord would invite you before his image to trust him, to open your heart to him again. All the pain and struggle, all the shame, all of the difficulties, the things that maybe you've hidden from many people, most people, maybe all people. But now before the Lord, you can be honest before him and allow him to touch your heart with his merciful love, as he surely wants to do at this time. And my dear brothers and sisters, as we open up to this mercy of God, let's also open up to the grace of being able to forgive others. There may be one person in your life, or maybe one institution, or one group, which you are still holding out against. You have your fist inside, clenched, as it were, against that person, with resentment and bitterness in the heart that twists up the human spirit and prevents us from being truly free. The Lord today wants you to become free, to be able to truly forgive from the heart. You know, it's possible to forgive in any circumstance because of what Jesus has done. It's always possible to forgive. Because it's a decision, it's not a feeling. It's a decision that you're able to make in your heart by your will, even though you have been offended grossly. To forgive does not mean to excuse. We want to see justice done. But if only justice is done, you will not be free. You must forgive. And Jesus gave us that grace from the cross. That's what we celebrate today on this day of days, this day of mercy. We celebrate God's immense mercy in giving us the amazing grace to be able to forgive. I want to finish with a story. Now, when Nelson Mandela came into power in South Africa, he finally put an end to the racist apartheid policy and brought about a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And that was being led by Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And they chose to take a path of reconciliation that if a person who had committed an atrocity during the time of apartheid, if they were willing to confess their crime publicly before the commission, they would not be prosecuted for the crime. They could be forgiven. So it turned out that there was a young policeman. His name was Van der Broek. And together with a few other officers, during the time of apartheid, he had shot dead an 18-year-old boy and burned the body to destroy the evidence. And then later, he'd returned to the same house and had seized the boy's father. And the wife was forced to watch as the policeman bound her husband on a pile of wood and poured petrol over him and set him on fire. And now, Van der Broek, who was responsible for this terrible atrocity, was standing before the Reconciliation Commission with the wife present. And he was admitting to this horrendous crime. He pleaded guilty and asked forgiveness. And everyone was thinking, what will happen? The elderly widow had lost both her son and her husband. But now she was given a chance to speak. And she looked at this man. And the judge asked her, what do you want from Mr. Van der Broek? And she said, I want him to go to the place where my husband was burned and to gather up the dust so I can give him a decent burial. And weeping, Van der Broek agreed. And then she added, Mr. Van der Broek took my family away from me, and I still have a lot of love to give. She said she wanted the shamed policeman to come to the ghetto and spend a day with her every 2 weeks so she can be a mother to him. And then she said, I'd like Mr. Van der Broek to know that he's been forgiven by God and that I forgive him too. And to prove that I forgive him, I'm now coming to embrace him. And she moved towards him to embrace him. And as she did, the people in the courtroom began to sing Amazing Grace. But Van der Broek didn't hear the words, and nor was he able to respond to the embrace because he fainted, overwhelmed by grace and mercy. My dear brothers and sisters, it is such a gift, grace and mercy. On this day especially, we sing Amazing Love. Amazing grace, amazing mercy has been given to each one of us by God. And we're able, even in terrible situations like that, to be able to bring mercy to others. Because we have been given so much, so we must give to others. Let's not hold back against anyone today. But in our hearts, let us forgive under the grace of God, and know the blessedness that comes and the great joy. That's the greatest thing that any human being can ever do, is to forgive. And bless his name.